New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And this is Comic Book Club's Best of 2024. I believe,
did it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, we're the first people on the internet to do a Best Comics of 2024. Nobody's done.
We were just thinking, what a fun idea to have a list, you know? I don't know, like, we're just galaxy brain, but, like, it's just great to, at the end of the year, think about all the good stuff.
Yeah.
We're alive. We made it.
We're alive, we made it, and we're
number
celebrating
one again,
comic
we
books.
Lived.
And here's what we're going to do on the show. I'm going to talk a little bit about the methodology, how we got there, but we're going to be counting down our top 15 comic book series of 2024 that released at least one issue in 2024. Then we're going to talk about some best graphic novels or trades that were released, and then we're going to have some honorable mentions, because to get into this, before we tape this show, we have a hour plus, multiple hour meeting where we really hash
this
out
this
hard.
List. It's hard to pick our favorites. We love comics very much, and we go to bat for them, and we have all got different opinions and different favorites and different kind of styles, so it's hard to agree and and it's weird arguing over art and, like, what's you know, better than other art. So
if you want to know what it's like, if you want to visualize it, imagine, like, the nastiest fight in the British Parliament, but our wigs are taller. Our wigs are way taller and way more powdery. That's how we do it.
What?
Yeah, we each individually came up with a list. I cut my down to, I think, like a tight 165 titles or
you
something.
All, Alex
like,
always wow. has every comic yeah. on the list.
You guys powder like, your wigs?
I'm a lover.
This is the thing, like Pete was saying, comics are really good right now. Yes. We've been reading them our entire lives, and they're great. There's such a variety of things that are coming out from so many different publishers. It's really hard to narrow this down, and I always like to start with, like, what did I like? What do I think deserves to be best? And at the end, I'm like, oh no, this is too many. But then we each individually cut them down to 25. We weighted them, ranked them through together, and started that as a place of discussion to get to the list that we ended up with here. And it's a variety of titles from a variety of publishers, as we're going to get into in a moment. And it really, I think, represents a swath of titles that we discussed very heavily as a podcast over the course of the past year. So I'm excited to get into it. Before we do, though, any final notes? Anybody want to throw anything else out there? Any other caveats, warnings?
Any warnings?
Warnings. Don't listen
say,
drunk.
When it's three people, it's hard when you get voted because,
Here we go. Be just trying to slide in some weird caveat asterisk shit.
All right, let's not do that. Let's not do that.
Exactly.
Instead.
Let's cut to the list. Cut to the list.
Let's get into our best comic books of 2024. I'm going to hide this little banner here so you can see our beautiful faces. All right, so here we go. We're going to kick it off with number 15 on the list, Storm from Marvel Comics, written by Murawa Ayodele, art by Lucas Wernick. And Pete, Why was this number 15 on our list of best comics of 2024?
Well, a lot of people think it should be higher, and I thank you for that. But I just think it's one of those things where amazing art. She's an amazing character and told really well in this story. A lot of cool swings coming out of the box. It was just, it's a great adventure with Storm, and it's a total blast. And artistically, it's impressive. Some really epic panels in this.
I feel like the X-Men universe has, you know, you don't quite know what you're going to get right now. It's like a little bit figuring out what it is in this new form. And this title just went so hard right out of the gate because we've only had, what, like 3 issues, I think, this year. And it's they're pushing Storm into new places while honoring sort of the rich, convoluted continuity around her. This was just such a surprise and a pleasant one.
Yeah.
Let's move it over to number 14, Nightwing from DC Comics, written by Tom Taylor, art by Bruno Redondo. Justin,
I mean, this book has been much talked about over the entire run that these guys have had on it, and it's just perfect superhero comics, I feel like. Bright, positive Nightwing character, just pure hero energy. Shout out to the Dick Barbara relationship in this comic is so sweet. I'm going to literally reread this comic before the end of the year because it's like holiday spirit injected into your veins. This comic will make you feel better.
Yeah, Nightwing is just one of those comics that like it's a DC's putting a lot of great comics right now, but Nightwing has been a staple for years and they've been doing it really well.
And you need staples for comics.
Exactly. Two other things that I'll throw out there. We got this 5-part Fallen Grayson arc that wrapped up Tom Taylor and Bruno Redondo's run, and it was utterly fantastic, real mission statement type thing. But also, like we're kind of talking around here, it's just a pleasure when you're reading a run on a comic book and you know, oh, this is going to be an all-timer. This is something we're going to talk about. As, oh, you should read Tom Taylor and Bruno Redondo's run on Nightwing for the rest of our lives. And they really stuck the landing here, just like Dick Grayson.
Wow, nice. Way to get the trapeze in there. I just want to say, like, it's crazy to read a comic when the creators are so in the pocket. And that's what this book has been for over a year. When your people are at the top of their game and they know it, nothing better in the world than seeing people work that way.
I love a in-the-pocket Justin reference.
Stay in the pocket. Get in the pocket.
This guy loves the pocket.
Also in the pocket, our number 13 pick, The Power Fantasy from Image Comics, written by Kieran Gillen, art by Casper Wingard. This also has only released a couple of issues so far this year. I think they're on 4 or 5. I honestly don't remember it. I'm sorry. But this has been some phenomenal world building right from the very first issue, presenting a world where there are 6 people with superpowers that could never meet, or it may mean the end of the world. At least that was the concept. However, they have met several times, and there have been some climactic and terrible things that have happened to this world, but most of all, it's just this clarity of focus that Kieran Gillen brings to building this world. It's obviously very metaphorical, going from the Cuban Missile Crisis to 1999 to big turning points in our own world history, slowly filling in those details. And man, Casper Wingard really came out of the gate. I mean, not came out of the gate, but when you first started talking about his art with Homesick Pilots, this is such a level up even beyond that here. The characters are gorgeously drawn. The situations are beautiful. The details are amazing. This is, again, one of those things that you read and go, oh, we're probably going to be talking about this for a very, very long time.
It's such a big comic. It's big ideas. Like Kieran Gillen always has big ideas, but this, I feel like, they're in such a pointed, targeted way, using power, superheroics, and just world politics as his playground. And Casper Wingard's art reflects that epicness and scale. So, like, I love this book. We talked to these guys in New York Comic Con. If you want to learn more about just their pure confidence and the way that they're laying out this book, listen to that interview. It's such a flex.
Shout out to Homesick Pilots. I love it.
Yeah. Number 12, Once Upon a Time at the End of the World from Boob Studios, written by Jason Aaron, art by Nick Dragota, Leila Del Duca, and Alexandra Tefengi. Justin, why was this number 12?
I mean, we got to see this book sort of close out. This book ran for over a year, so it was only the last little bit of it we got this year. But man, this book really stuck with me. The way that Jason Aaron took the metaphor of the arc of a relationship from meeting, falling in love, encountering sort of the paradise of a part of your relationship, the eventual settling in and end of, in this case, this relationship, and use that as the central metaphor to build a post-apocalyptic story around, it really, it just hits so hard. It gets into sex, how we treat each other, being unable to move on from different things. At the same time, these people are trying to build a perfect society and then eventually just battling each other out with rats and robot arms at the end of the world. It's just a book that will sit with me for a long time.
Yeah, it's epic in a lot of different ways, and not only the artwork, but also the storytelling. It's a perfect combo.
And just on the art, I will mention specifically that we've been spacing out throughout the series, each of these artists telling things in a different timeline. In the final arc, that all came together and ultimately was happening almost simultaneously in these three timelines. Absolutely gorgeous, and ended without any spoilers with a stunning, beautiful image that really brought it back to the beginning. Very impressive comic book storytelling here. Birds of Prey at number 11 from DC Comics, written by Kelly Thompson, art by Aris Den, Leonardo Romero, Javier Pena, David Lopez, Jonathan Case, Gavin Guidry, Robbie Rodriguez, Sophie Campbell, Edward Galban, and Sammy Basri. Pete, that's a lot of artists. But yeah, one writer. How did this work?
It was unbelievable. I mean, it's worth it for the art alone. I said that numerous times this year and meant every single one of them. This is artistically an achievement in comics that should be held up. And I fought really hard to try to get it on higher on the list. But these two guys are relentless. it was fun. It was a unbelievable comic, an unbelievable story, and great use of these characters.
The way that this comic switches between artists is so hard to do and have storytelling consistency and have it actually be meaningful. And this book does it perfectly while telling a superhero team story where everyone is just gets to pop when they need to.
Yeah, we got a little more than this, but there was one arc that spanned over this year where the Birds of Prey ended up jumping through kind of best way of describing it is the different dimensions that each had different artistic styles, each one tied into a character, a different member of the team. So very creative and pointed storytelling from Kelly Thompson in terms of exploring these team members. And then over the past couple of issues, we've gotten this incredible Cassandra Cain story that's dove into the relationship between Cassandra Cain and Big Barda in particular. Great stuff.
Great Barda in this book.
Yeah.
Now we're getting into the top 10 of 2024. And coming in hot at number 10 is The Pedestrian from Magma Comics, written by Joey Esposito, art by Sean Van Gorman. This is, by my note, one of the most creative books on the stands. It focuses on the title character. It's not even really exactly a superhero. He just kind of walks around town and obeys stop signs and go signs as he goes.
That's the hero I need in my life. Someone who's
beyond
just doing
the essential weirdness of the premise and Sean Van Gorman's just purposefully off-putting strange designs for the characters, it's really just diving into this incredible theme of togetherness in a world that tends to drive us apart in terms of this pedestrian who helps people cross the street. Just the most basic thing that we should all know and all ignore on a daily basis. That's what Joey Esposito is really driving into theme-wise. It feels like something that would have fit in perfectly in Vertigo back in the day, and it is a thrill both emotionally and mentally to read this every single issue.
Not to correct you, Alex, but it's pronounced in a world.
Okay, thank you, Pete.
Yeah, nice. No problem.
Yeah, appreciate it. At the end of the year, you got to get that stuff right.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to say about this is the villainy in this comic is such everyday villainy, and it's so sinister and unsettling. And the way that the writing and the art are combining here, it really sort of gets under your skin in a very matter-of-fact way. And it feels really close to my personal life as a city dweller who crosses a lot of streets. I'm terrified every time I see the crosswalk. Whoa. And that's right. A lot.
Yeah, almost every day. And coming in at number 9, it is our audience favorite, Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees from IDW by Patrick Horvath. This is something we asked some folks on Slack and social, and it by far got the most votes, the most picks from our audience who listen and watch the show. Justin, why is Beneath the Trees on here, other than the audience?
Yeah, you sicko. Why do you guys like this book?
The best part of this book is that it keeps Pete awake at night. Pete can't sleep because of this book. And what more can you ask for? This guy gets plenty of sleep. He needs to wake up in the middle of the night more often. I think the last two issues of this book came out this year where we saw storybook character serial killer plot come to a close. We're not going to spoil anything about any of this, but this... We've talked about the premise combining the serial killer, very graphic murder with the busy world of Richard Scarry style universe. That's just hit so hard. But this book goes deeper, and I think these last two issues this year especially did, really underneath, behind the eyes of this killer and the way that he encounters his sort of ultimate enemy, a killer that is bad at it or careless about it. And you really sort of get to ride along and really be on the side of someone who murders his furry friends. Just one of the best books of the year, and definitely something to read in the trade if you haven't started it yet.
Her furry friends, I will say. I'll also say the trade collection came out this year, and I know we're not talking about those until later, but it was really impressive to see, at least on ICV2's chart of graphic novels, this hit, I think, number 2 right after Ultimate Spider-Man, which has been a blockbuster hit. So it's also a title that is clearly bringing people into comic book stores to buy it, and that's always a laudable, impressive thing. It's also getting a sequel, which is coming next year, which I'm very excited about.
I believe it's called The Rites of Spring. Is that right?
Yeah, Rite of Spring, yeah.
Rite of Spring.
There you go. More Pete's not... Pete, no sleep. Pete, no sleep.
You have to read it, Pete. You have to.
Let's move to number 8, The Absolute Universe from DC Comics. Pete, you couldn't pick a title here. What's going on?
Yeah, what's
Pete? They're all killing it, dude. They're all killing it. Absolute Wonder Woman, unbelievable. Absolute Batman, unbelievable. They're just, we had to say Absolute Universe.
Is there a third one? You didn't
there
say
is,
that.
There is. There's a trinity, but there's more. They do, they're doing
but
such
you
a great.
But you only mentioned Absolute Wonder Woman and Absolute Batman. So.
But do you like them all?
I'm all in on the DC relaunch here.
One. Why won't you say the third one?
Say its name, Pete.
What is your guys' deal? Just such creative. We've seen so many different Wonder Woman stories, so many different Batman stories, so many different Superman stories, but this is done so well, so unique, so different. When I hear new origin story, my eyes roll. I'm not excited. I was completely blown away by this. This is really impressive and very smartly done. Very excited to see more of this in the new year.
The thing I'll add here is, you know, when you do like sort of an ultimate universe, in this case, absolute, that sort of, it always feels like it's boiling.
Shout out to the vodka.
Yep, always. It's boiling down the characters to some sort of more easily accessible, essential core idea. Or at least having them, in the ultimate case of the original Ultimate Universe, making them all the same. And sort of like, these guys are more hard-edged. What I love about Absolute is they made weird choices in different ways for each different character, and they're really going to let them play out. Like, the Wonder Woman, the fact that she's just from hell now is awesome, and it's dark, but they're making it, they're really using it as a way to drive the stuff, the mythology we know about Wonder Woman forward in a way that I don't think we'll expect or see coming. Same for Batman, same for Superman.
And I also, not to pit one thing against another, but to pull back the curtain a little bit, we did discuss, should we also be throwing Ultimate Universe on there? And I think there's some great titles in there, and I'm sure we're going to talk about some later on in the show, but it's been a little mixed. You know, not everything has been top tier. Everything, like Pete said, from Absolute Universe, including Absolute Superman there, I'll say
yeah.
It.
Wow, brave.
No, you never said it. You never said Absolute Superman. You were too scared.
Superman, dude.
Okay. Yeah, you can't, it's hard to remember that really esoteric character, Superman.
Anyway, all three of these titles have been absolute bangers right out of the gate, like Pete said, both from the writing perspective and the art perspective. It's been a super impressive line. Really excited to see how it's going to expand.
And one last thing on it. When we talked to Scott Snyder about Absolute Batman, he's so close to this. This is just a major super release, and he's like, you guys like it, right? Like, he's asking us off mic, like, right? And like, because he cares about it so much. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that goes across the line for all the creators on these books. And they're selling like crazy. So it's such a win.
Yeah. Next up at number 7 is Local Man from Image Comics by Tony Fleeks and Tim Seeley. This title, shockingly, surprisingly, wrapped up this year, though TBD, there's potentially more to come down the line. As not to keep name dropping, but when we talked to Tim Seeley at New York Comic Con, he was like, yeah, we're ending it. And also Tony and I keep sending emails being like, oh, and then we could do this and we could do this other thing. So we'll see if it comes back someday.
Well, but just to interrupt you, when we were talking to him, I was like, so what's next for Local Man? He's like, it ended, dude. I was like, I know, but we need it to more. We need more. So come, don't, I can still ask that. So bring it.
So this title has started as not exactly a parody, but a little bit of satire of old Image Comics. But like a lot of the stuff that we were talking about, particularly like what you brought up about Absolute Universe, this really comes out of Tony and Tim's love of Image Comics and love of the 90s, the 2000s. Even the modern day era and throwing in some of that stuff there, riffing on the idea that superheroes can be cheesy, but superheroics and heroism can be beautiful as well. Letting the main character, our local man, really grow and change. And in particular, the final issue, the surprise final issue, which riffed on a old Images of Tomorrow thing, which jumped ahead into the future and gave us an issue 25, ended really beautifully and said something about why they were writing this title in a very meta way. It's funny, it's smart, it could be crass as well, but this title can't be anything. And whether it's done forever or they come back later, I think this was a beautiful way to wrap it up for now.
One of the nice things, you know, and one of the things you don't sometimes get in comic books is seeing growth in characters. And this is really impressive, the growth and the kind of movement that you have in this. It's a very moving book and just so artistically done in such a great way from a good place. So, yeah, we had to kind of put this on there. You got to be freaking kidding me. This was unbelievable.
This really is like a retrospective on how Image Comics was back then and has changed, and they cover both sides of it so well. And the fact that they were able to land the plane on doing a Youngblood style book of a like very posy team, as well as like a really heartfelt story about someone going back to their hometown and dealing with all the things they left behind, is amazing. And they really did both in equal measure.
Number 6, Deep Cuts from Image Comics, written by Joe Clark and Kyle Higgins, art by Diego Greco and Toby Cypress. Justin, play me some of that sweet music.
Yes, let's jam. This is another book that we only got a couple issues this year, but really wanted to highlight it because, you know, this is like a historical book talking about music and jazz and how different the different people that have populated that world. And it was just such a surprise. Music is something we talk about a lot as being hard to represent in comics, especially like there's no superheroics here. This is just like people living their lives. And this book just ended up at the top of my pile every time it came out because the stories were really deep, historical. We got to sort of see the world. And, you know, I'm not a musical person. I wish I was better at music. And this book made me feel like I could hear it and play it.
Wow. You can hear Jimmy. That's awesome. Artistically, it's impressive on a whole nother level. But yeah, the way that you're combining story with history in this is just so impressive. It's very moving, very powerful, very beautiful. We needed this, and this came out at a great time.
And now we're entering the top 5. The pressure is building. Can you feel it as we count down to number 1? Ooh, here we go with number 5, Zatanna. Bring Down the House from DC Comics, written by Mariko Tamaki, art by Javier Rodriguez. Pete,
do you want to take this one?
Yeah, make some magic here, Pete.
This is just so impressive artistically.
Oh, sorry. I should have specified. Do your entire review backwards. Go ahead.
I just think that what this achieved, the panel work, the vision to kind of bring us into these magical worlds, it was just such an awesome ride. You know, Justin was talking about, you know, the top of the stack. This, every week that we got to read this, it was just so fun to kind of open this up and dive into this unbelievable world. Really impressive writing, so impressive art. I hope they teach classes on this after this. This is just glorious.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a pleasure. Zatanna's a character that, you know, pops up more and more, I feel like, in the main DC universe. She seems very popular right now. And to be able to... She's so hot right now. To be able to sort of go back and have focus on just her in such an artistically relevant and interesting way was great.
Yeah, this is a world that I would love to see more of. I know they don't necessarily do Black Label sequels, but like we've been talking about, Javier Rodriguez, the art is just absolutely next level throughout this book. And Marika Tamaki set up this great new take on magic in the DC universe that potentially set it up for a sequel. So I guess we'll see what happens. But if this is all we get, it did, in fact, bring down the house. And at number four, what else but Fantastic Four? That was actually a coincidence. I want to clarify. It just sort of worked out that way. We didn't push it down the list or anything.
You would never.
From Marvel Comics, written by Ryan North, art by Carlos Gomez, Francesco Mortarino, Ivan Fiorelli, and Stephen Cummings. Every single issue of this is great, and it has been great for 20-something, almost 30 issues at this point. Yeah. There is no bad issue of Ryan North's run on Fantastic Four. But more specifically, every issue is its own essentially done-in-one. Even the two-parters that they've had, the rare two-parters, they still stick to the single issue. And that's such a rarity to have such creativity, such science-based or science fiction-based concepts in every single issue. But it also doesn't forget to the characters. You know, if you're watching the video version of the show, you can see the issue I chose was number 20 for the highlight here, which just had the Thing and Human Torch.
Hell yeah.
Trying to get jobs and working at a grocery store. And it was so funny and so fun, but also had something to say in terms of why it's not bad, even though it's looked that way, to be employed in a service job. So there's some real thought and mission going on behind this, down to the extremely goofy and insane issue where Reed and Johnny tried to pluck up a blood hole in the basement. So there's big storytelling, there's smart storytelling, there's emotional storytelling. This runs the gamut. This is, like we were saying with Nightwing, I think one of those Fantastic Four runs we're just going to be talking about for a long time. I love it.
It's so consistent, like you're saying, Alex. But also, I'll just add, it's just hard to take the Fantastic Four out of their normal place. They're normally just like in the Baxter Building or the Four Freedoms Plaza, and they're just doing their thing, traveling to different dimensions. In this run, they're at a farmhouse. Everyone's out of their element a little bit, but it still feels like very core Fantastic Four storytelling. Again, and also super positive, super bright and shiny. Love it.
Next up, top three coming in with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from IDW, written by Jason Aaron, art by Joelle Jones, Raphael Albuquerque, Cliff Chiang, Chris Burnham, and Derek Robinson. Pete, do you love being a turtle?
Oh, man, come on. What year is it, dude? Are you kidding me? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are back. This was glorious. What a resurgence. What a just kind of bringing it back to the old Eastman and Laird style. I'm so happy that this is kicking ass again and taking numbers. This is just, I'm very excited. I feel like a little kid again when I get to read Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And this was impressive artistically and what they did with the characters and this whole kind of like we're just getting little glimpses of each turtle and what they've been through. It's been a surprising, delightful, and just fucking badass.
Yeah, I think we've gotten 5 issues so far for this year, and it is really good. I wanted to say that they are really taking risks with it. Like you're saying, Pete, the turtles are back, but they're also in different places. They're all over the map, and they are have to come together. Even Casey Jones, who is like just really good at shopping at sporting goods stores as a skill.
Hey, come on, dude.
Even
don't take shots.
Fun.
Don't use this time to take shots at
Why,
Casey
what's he gonna
Jones.
Do? Hit me with a basketball?
Oh, dude, come
anyway,
on.
Anyway, I like this book.
I love this as well. And just to add on to what you guys are saying, this really brings me back to the best of the original era, Eastman and Laird, where you had humor, you had heart, but the turtles were also in real danger at certain points, something that I feel like is missing sometimes. You get that here. They're really on their back legs the entire time as they're split apart.
Yeah, they're stuck in their shells.
Exactly.
They've got to poke, anytime they poke their neck out, it's going to get cut off. And tonight, I dine on turtle soup.
Oh, no. Oh, dude, don't you dare.
Each issue stands as its own character piece so far that Jason Aaron is writing, and it's just been a smart way to reintroduce the turtles to a new generation. But again, I know I'm very focused on the single issue, but I think that's such a great way to space this out here. Beyond that, though, what a murderer's row of artists on this book. And everybody has been bringing beyond their A game. Like, these are some of my favorite artists of the business, and Rafael Albuquerque has never been
the
better.
Kirky?
Cliff Chiang has never been better, not to shout them out, but Joel Jones, Chris Burnham, Derek Robertson. Like, the last issue with Derek Robertson, there was such a sense of perspective that was going on there that emphasized the story. It is phenomenal. I cannot believe how much I love this run on TMNT.
I was just down at Murderer's Row. You guys got to check it out. There's all murderers there, and it's great to see what
it's
they're
just
up
a row
to.
Of them. They're all
yeah, it's
lined
just
up.
In a row.
That's
I would
crazy.
Say the police should go to Murderer's Row and start making some arrests, because those guys are they're killing people. They're killing
their
people.
Their art is very good, though. That's all.
Very
I'm
good artists.
Here we go with top two. Number two, The Boy Wonder from DC Comics by Junie Ba. I am stunned how incredible this series was. I went into it thinking, oh, cool, I enjoy a Damian Wayne story. I like Judy Ba and what they've been doing. But, man, again, with the single issue thing, each issue delved into Damian Wayne and his relationship with a different member of the Bat family, a different Robin. And the clarity of character focus throughout here was beyond impressive. This is just a mission statement every single issue about one of the Robins, one of the members of the Bat family, sometimes two. There's one issue that focuses on both Nightwing and Barbara that's really smartly done. Yeah. But also, in terms of taking Damian Wayne and also an overall mission statement on him, who he is and where he potentially could be. This is a Black Label book, so it's out of continuity. But I thought that was fantastic. And last thing that I'll say about it, and then if you guys want to add anything, this is also a Black Label book that you can give to anybody who is interested in the Robins or the Bat family. A lot of the books air a little more adult, like Zatanna. I would not necessarily say, here, kids, read Zatanna with the sex scene with John Constantine and Zatanna. There you
hot
go.
Hot scene, though. For hot, a kid who's ready scene. For it, give it. You know?
Oh, boy.
But here, this was just absolutely wonderful across the board. Every single issue, I thought this was great.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, Alex. The only thing I would just like to add is just artistically, it was just magical and really brought you into this tale so well. Like, they really felt like they took the time to set it up and bring you into this world. And it was... it was really impressive, every issue, and it was such an achievement.
They really elevated the story and characters to mythological status while still keeping them grounded in their actual crime-fighting ways, and that's hard.
And now it's time for our number one pick, which I will mention, not to take too much of your thunder here, Justin, but this was, I believe, not on our list last year, despite generally being one of our favorite titles. But it's back again in number one with a bullet. Ice Cream Man from Image Comics.
Ice Cream Man. Never have we talked
again.
About this book enough? And wait, I think wait, it wasn't on our list.
Sorry,
we
just
like,
to give the credits. Written by W. Maxwell Prince, art by Martin Morazzo. Okay, do it. Go ahead.
It wasn't on our list last year because we were like, we love this book. We talk about it a ton, and it just felt like it continued to be great. So why is it at number one on our list? Is because it got even better. It really
Which is
just
really it's impressive.
Impossible. The bar is so high, and yet this man of ice cream keeps hitting. We keep getting teased with a deeper, darker mythology here, and I feel like it's getting closer, but it doesn't matter because each standalone issue is such a statement. There's just a great issue about news. There was one, an issue that got into James Bond stuff that I really enjoyed. The standout, though, is the two-parter, which was a decompression of a crash, I want to say. Decompression of a wreck, yeah. In a wreck. And just upsetting, just beautifully done from a writing perspective and artistically. I'm not a go-by-the-art guy, but at New York Comic Con, I got a panel from Martin that just is beautiful from Decompression in the Wreck.
And you haven't framed that yet? You're just letting that sit loose in your house?
It's loose in a house with kids? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's a place now. Respect, we eat spaghetti off of it.
My God.
Does that stress anybody out on this podcast?
Yeah, yeah. Just to kind of touch a little bit about what Justin said about the bar, it's impressive what this achieved because it set the bar with like how creative, how different each issue is. You don't know what you're going to get. And you're like, wow, I was blown away. They can't keep doing this. Right. And they did. And not only they went above and beyond what we thought was possible and artistically, writing wise, just bringing into you what kind of world are we going to do each issue. It was so, so impressive. I just can't say enough about what it did.
The issue we have highlighted here, if you're watching the video, Horror House, was also really good, really poignant, while still being a classic horror story.
Yeah, I'm just going to reiterate what you guys said, and I know, Justin, you touched on some of this, but the two-part Decompression in a Wreck is, I think, their masterpiece.
Yeah.
And if you haven't read it, it is two sides of a car crash told over 20-ish pages each, and it's not just a little bit of light satire about decompression in comic books, though it certainly is that, but it also gets to final moments of life, what they would mean for people. Maybe they mean nothing, maybe they mean something, and tells it in very, very different ways over the course of the two issues. You don't need to read both of them, but obviously they're counterpoints to each other, but you can if you want to. And they are phenomenal. They're something I'll be thinking about for the rest of my life. And like you mentioned with the Horror House, I thought that was very timely because there's a constant discussion about Ice Cream Man online about, is this a horror book? What's going on? And this is literally W. Maxwell Prince in the comic book responding to that. And how do you write a horror book when there are so many horrible things in the outside world? It was just an upsetting but pointed comic to release at the end of the year and very smartly done.
Put this book in a frame. It's that good. You have to frame it.
Yeah, Justin,
you're a
take
crazy
your own
person
advice.
If you don't
yeah,
frame.
Take
yeah.
your own advice.
I
you
just
fucking
appreciate
piece
it. It feels like they're throwing spaghetti at the wall and then eating the spaghetti off of this comic book. But that's just my take on it.
Yeah, accurate take.
Great way to end our top 15 here. Why don't we move into best graphic novels? And this is something, this is not in any particular order. These are just things that we really like this year. So I wanted to kick it off talking about The One Hand, The Six Figures, which we talked about putting it in the main list, but I think it works so well in the trade. I'm excited to highlight it that way. And this is a series that showed two different sides of a murder mystery in a neo-future city. One, we got to see the guy who may or may not be the serial killer come back after years. The other side, the detective who put the serial killer away twice before. And throughout, beyond being a absolutely beautiful story to look at in both senses, it really just complements each other. It goes in directions you think you know where it's going, and then it goes beyond that. Great writing, great art. And if you pick it up in trade, they present it the right way where it alternates issues between The One Hand and The Six Fingers. And rather than releasing two different trades, I think that's just smartly done. Do not miss it. Also, Houses of the Unholy at Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips, yearly graphic novel.
Such a good, yes.
Always an event. Every single one of them is good. Every single one is a must read. And this one, Ed Brubaker actually came on our live show and revealed this book, so you can go back and listen to that. So I have a special place in my heart for it. But it is all about the Satanic Panic. It goes beyond that into edging towards some supernatural stuff and maybe having some supernatural stuff. So it's very different from their regular criminal, very true crime-based output, but always great. Also wanted to mention Peacemaker Tries Hard. The trade of that came out this year. That's by Kyle Starks. And if you love Peacemaker, if you love the TV show, this is a perfect extension of it. Smart, funny, poignant when it needs to be. Kyle Starks put out so much stuff this year, and it's all worth checking out. But this is probably just based on the TV series, the most accessible. And if you're waiting for season two, that's going to come out sometime in 2025, this is a perfect thing to pick
fills
up.
It, and like really, like it captures the tone and fills the gap really well.
Yeah. Pete, you want to talk about something that is not a graphic novel, but we're going to sneak onto this list anyway?
Yes, yeah. This is a small victory for me.
Pete loves a sneak.
This is a one-shot, but Sanford Green got to do Doom, and unbelievable, just one-shot. The art is just next level. Sanford Green is one of my favorite artists, and this is just such a masterclass and such a great use of Doom here. I just was really could not be more excited about this comic, so I was super happy that this team was put together to put out this one shot, and I want more.
What a surprise this book was.
Yeah, and this was by Jonathan Hickman from Marvel, Doom number one, if you want to check it out. And not only is it a tribute to MF Doom, but also it's just this mission statement Hickman has. It's sort of like wrapping up his Fantastic Four and Avengers run in a surprising way.
So, yeah, hyping Valeria, as always.
I'll mention Somna from Distillery. This is by Becky Cloonan and Tula Lote. This goes back to like Salem witch trial days. Gives us a bit of the old supernatural as well, as a devilish figure tempts one woman in particular. This is like having an extremely sexual fever dream throughout, as Clinton
my favorite kind.
Lote.
If I have a fever, I want to have it to be a little bit sexy.
Yeah. Becky Cloonan and Tula Lote, two of the best working in the business. This is a gorgeous book. Pick this up and trade if you missed it, but
love this
for
as well.
Adults only.
I want to talk about Final Cut by Charles Burns. This book, you know, Charles Burns is incredibly famous now as a graphic novelist specifically, so you probably have heard about this, but this is great. It gets into sort of making a group of friends slash people. They're not always friends. Making a short film and what happens to them as they sort of bang into each other on their trip. Beautiful art. The classic creepy, creeping tone of Charles Burns throughout. This I really connected with this when I read it.
Pete, Deadly Class Compendium.
Yeah, I mean, we all remember Deadly Class. It was unbelievable. And sometimes when you have such a great run, you get really excited about what they're going to do for the graphic novel, what they're going to kind of throw in there, what kind of cool stuff. This compendium is glorious. It really brings such an amazing run to a whole nother level in this compendium. This is one of my favorite arcs of all time. I love Deadly Class. Unbelievable artist. Just such a great, cool story and so badass in many ways. And this is a hell of a collection. If you like this run, you want to get this compendium.
You know what else is a hell of a collection? Hell to Pay, A Tale of the Shrouded College. Keep going, Pete. Never stop talking.
Charles Soule, you know, that guy, he really... Yes. He's a hell of a writer and really kind of created such a cool, the artist created the world. But, man, this is this is such a crazy, cool story, and I was very blown away by this. And, gotta make the graphic novel list.
And, Pete, just to wrap it up, you love eating people, so talk about Rare Flavors.
I will not. This was a nightmare situation. I couldn't believe what was happening the whole time, and I couldn't believe you guys loved this so much, but then by the end, I was really moved.
You got hungry, is what happened.
No.
And this is Ram V and Felipe Andrade, right, following up on Many Deaths of Layla Starr?
Yeah, yeah. I love that. You know, sometimes an ending can make or break, and this brought it to such a whole level for me. I was pretty grossed out through most of this, but then with that ending, I was really just so impressed.
This is about, by the way, a demon who asks to get a documentary made about him by a guy who follows him around. Does he eat things? And as I spoiled, he eats people is one of the things that he does. But like Pete said, it does become very poignant to the end. And Justin, you got two more picks to wrap
up. It's weird for me
here.
To say about Rare Flavors after following up on the cannibal commentary is there's a lot of great recipes in here, too. You know, so like,
no, I mean, it's true.
It's true.
It's kind of crazy to say.
The recipes don't have human. I mean, you can
unless
make
you
these.
Want to.
You can substitute human.
No, you can substitute. Do not say that. Nope.
You just have to cook it a little bit differently if it's human.
We don't want to be on the internet saying this kind of stuff, guys. So please stop.
Eat people. That people.
No. What the.
People we started this podcast when I saw you guys walking in with human legs into a theater.
No, that's not true.
Do you want to do a comic book club?
Do you think this is funny?
Yeah, we were eating them like a classic amusement park turkey leg. We were eating at the Ren Fair, except human legs. A couple. Yeah. Speaking of horrifying things, the Deviant Volume 1. This James Tynion IV, just killer book. Very creepy, especially at the end of the year. This is set around a serial killer who kills children around Christmas. And boy, is it scary.
That's very timing.
And slow moving. Yeah, and it feels very prescient right now. And this is an ongoing, so we're still getting it.
And last but not least, Sunday, Justin.
I want to talk about Sunday. This is a book I've been reading right now from Fantagraphics, which follows the course of one guy's Sunday. And it's funny, sad. It's the art's really, really moody and interesting, and it's a great just hangout book. Like read a little bit here and there. Very fun, plenty thick. So definitely check it out. Wow. But it's about
it looks
life.
Like you keep it in your waiting room so people can read it while they're
yes.
You know,
I have
for
a very
apartment.
Extensive waiting room in my apartment.
Yeah, that's
I'm
smart.
Always having people stick around, chill.
And just to clarify for anybody just listening to the podcast, it's Sunday with a Y, not Sunday with an E. So it's not about a guy who eats an ice cream sundae.
Oh, man. Ice cream.
Oh, now that sounds like a great.
Great idea. Great, by Oliver Strawin, if we didn't say that. And, you know, we don't have these on the list, but I just want to say them real quick. The Enfield Gang Massacre released a trade of that book. Excellent. Fantastic. Great. True story about a group of people, outlaws, who get straight up killed by the townspeople. And then Animal Pound by Tom King, his take on Animal Farm, which great political, really well
upsetting.
Done.
Very upsetting.
Yeah.
If we're doing – oh, go ahead. Alex.
Well, hold on. We're about to go into what you're probably about to do, Pete. Unless
well,
you have
I want to give
novels.
Yeah, I want to give a graphic novel shout out.
Go for it.
Yeah, TMNT The Last Ronin was really awesome.
The biggest selling
like 3 years ago,
and that's the biggest selling book on the charts right now.
Yeah,
that's not an under the radar
volume
shout
one,
out.
Mega
I
want
to give a shout out to Watchmen. Watchmen, you should check
yeah.
it out.
Oh, that's yeah, a dude. Good graphic novel. It's on shelves. Check it out.
Well,
guys.
I will say, actually, all joking aside, DC's Compact Comics line this year has been awesome. It's so good. All the displays when I go to comic book stores, if you don't know, it's a digest sized $9.99 collection. And so you can get like all of Watchmen for $10 at a really good print, or We 3 is coming out next year, which is cool. I might pick that up. And it's just a great way to get caught up with these like iconic runs on things all in one volume, very affordable. It's really impacted the industry in a crazy way where nobody quite does it right. Like Marvel's like, right. Yeah, we see you. We're doing that, but they're larger and they're $14.99. And Boom next year is like, no problem, $19.99 for our books. And I'm like, no, the key here is the below $10 thing.
But yeah.
It is what it is. That wraps up graphic novels, but there were a lot of things that didn't make our overall list that were on our personal list. So why don't we talk about some honorable mentions real quick.
The HMs.
HMs, the other things people should be checking out. Pete, you want to take it away with some HMs?
Sure, yeah, definitely. Petrolhead, Titans, Tear Us Apart, Man's Best, The Last Mermaid, Sensational She-Hulk, Sinister Sons. These are just a couple from me that I just wish we could have gotten on the list. But fantastic comics, unbelievable teams on that. And just what a year for comics, man. So happy to be a comic book head because it's been there's a lot of craziness in the world, but at least we have comics.
Oh, Justin. That's nice.
I've got some from small to big all across the quadrants. I want to highlight the zero-hour anniversary special from DC.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, wow. I love this. I'm a big zero-hour guy. That's where we got Starman, a bunch of other, like, sort of weirder heroes and hero teams, Primal Force.
Oh, did you like Starman? This is the first I've ever heard.
First you've heard of it. But the zero-hour anniversary special did a great job of, like, really taking it back there. A lot of, like, specials like this can feel a little bit, like, just on a whim. This one felt like they really took the time to make this book like the original. So love that. I want to highlight a relationship in comics that I want to see more of. The White Queen Tony Stark relationship that ran through Invincible Iron Man and some other books. It's so good. And you can see a little ghost of it in the Iron Man stuff right now. But I want this back. This was my favorite thing that happened in Marvel Comics this past year.
It was.
And I do want to mention, for the record, Justin included White Queen Tony relationship on his list of 25 best comics. And I was like, I don't know how to rank this.
I don't know how to.
Like, what is that? A relationship, huh? You like how Wolverine likes claw cutting stuff? That's not a thing in comics, you can say.
Hey, speaking of relationships, Wolverine and Storm in the Storm book was fun. That was a real shit moment.
A couple others. Fish Flies, a really great book that started, I think, and finished this year. Really good. Department of Truth, James Tynan's book. I feel like really getting into it, going deeper as it expands out. Great read. And just a great superhero comic. Chip Zdarsky's Batman, I thought, was really great this year. Being weird and getting into, like, very specific character stuff, while also just hearkening back to some interesting changes to Batman himself.
And I'll mention a couple here as well. I wanted to give a shout out to Paranoid Gardens, which was from Gerard Way, Chris Weston, and Sean Simon, I think, was the team on that. I thought this wrapped up so well. It was weird. It was interesting. It was pretty profound at points about the divide between corporations and art and how you get them to work together. Really impressed with that book. FML from Kelly Sue DeConnick and David Lopez. Only two issues so far, but that's been endlessly creative in the art and very much a book of our times. Alan Scott, The Green Lantern, I thought was a fantastic miniseries that really got me choked up at certain points, which I was not expecting at all, as delved into the relationship between Alan Scott and the Red Lantern, who was the villain. Really smart, really emotionally done. Universal Monsters Frankenstein, I thought, was fantastic. The best of the bunch so far when it comes to the Universal Monsters stuff. We didn't, I know I mentioned this earlier, but the Ultimate Universe, Ultimate Spider-Man has really grown on me over the course of the issues. I was iffy about it at the beginning, but man, every issue has been increasingly a banger and built up the tension leading up to the last issue of the release this year, which made me like scream out loud when I got to the end.
I would throw Dennis Camp's Ultimates on that as well.
Yeah, I was about to give that a shout out too. Just in terms of dealing with social issues and diversity and underserved groups, it's been this big, bold rejoinder to the original Ultimates in a really smart way. Guilt Frame by Matt Kint and his mom, I thought, was a really trippy, fun, beautifully done mystery that ended up in a wild place I was not expecting. Really worth checking that out. Godzilla's Monsterpiece Theater from
IDW.
I do. It's
you
so
love it.
Crazy.
It is very good.
Godzilla versus the Great Gatsby? How does it work? How does it work so well? It's great. You mentioned Chip Zdarsky's Batman, but I'll give a shout out to Public Domain, a book that has only gotten better over time. It's really inside baseball about comics, but it's gotten very emotional and smart and funny as well as it's continued with the story. And two last ones, Mystique from Declan Shalvey from Marvel has been a great spy thriller. Really been enjoying that. And Poison Ivy, one that I think made our list last year, did not make it this year, but there has been no downsizing quality. I think very similar to a lot of titles that make our list one year and don't make it the next. It's just like, yes, this continues to be really, really good.
Exactly. That's like sort of the ice cream man of this year, because Poison Ivy is one of my favorite reads every week as well, or every month as well. And it's just continues to be great.
Yeah, I also really loved Poison Ivy, not only artistically, but the story was next level as well. And while we mentioned Batman a couple of times, I want to give a shout out to Batman Offworld. I had a blast with that. I thought that was really fun. And, of course, two of my favorites, What's the Furthest Place from Here? And then Something is Killing the Children.
Okay, shout out to bats. Shout out to men. I love when they come together.
Yeah. Oh, and I know I mentioned I had that list of 165, so let me just keep reading.
Yeah, we can just keep listing comics. Yeah, I mean, Feral, Doctor Strange, right.
Like the orchestra will start playing me off.
Yes, the Horizon Experiment, all of those books have been super interesting.
Oh, my God.
Comics are good, guys.
Uncanny Valley, Sacrificers.
Yeah, Uncanny Valley's on my list, yeah.
All right, we got to stop somewhere, and I'm sorry to anybody we didn't include on the list, because we love you very, very much. Yes. And everybody listening as well, we love you too. Happy New Year. Happy Best of Comics. Definitely let us know in the comments what your best comics of the year are, because we would love to hear them, and I'm sure there's plenty of things we missed. But if you'd like to support the show and all the shows we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube.
Sure do.
Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about comics, best or worst or otherwise. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Blue Sky, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, Comic Book Club Live .com for this podcast and many more. Until 2025, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Survive till 25, guys. We're almost there.
Hey, remember the Blood Hunt? That was a good one, too. Comic Book Club, Comic Book Club. They sit on crappy couches and they let the secrets leak. And occasionally they let that special guest speak. So grab your inhaler.
Best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.